This share is entitled, Is Steak Created from a Printer Kosher, and Is It Meat? Israel, the startup nation, is in the forefront of lab-grown meat from 3D printers. An Israeli company, Stakeholder Foods, has created a 3D printer that can print out fish and meat. Now, how does it work? They extract fat and muscle stem cells from an animal or a fish, and then they grow the cells. They then create these bio inks from these stem cells. They load the bio ink into a printer, and then the printers have the capability for someone to choose an option for how much fat and how much muscle cells they want their steak to be, and the shape of them, the design. They can decide that they want a ribeye steak, a sirloin steak, etc., etc. And they click on their option. Then the printer prints the steak, and then it matures in an incubator such that the steak can fully form. And then you have a steak. With respect to fish, they were able to print out a ready-to-eat fish. And there's actually a video that I saw that went around, was viral, when they prepared a fish from a 3D printer for Prime Minister Netanyahu. And he said it tasted really good. This technology is constantly evolving. In Singapore, it has been legal to sell cultivated meat since 2020. And this past June, two United States companies have gotten approval from the United States Department of Agriculture to sell cultivated meat. So the question is, can we eat the meat if the stem cells come from a kosher animal? Can we eat the meat if the stem cells come from a non-kosher animal? Is the meat considered, or is the meat considered parv or fleishig? So first question we have to ask ourselves, we really have to ask ourselves sort of two different questions. Question number one is, how do we view the stem cells? And question number two, does the process that transforms the stem cells into meat, does that perhaps remove their prohibition? So again, two broad questions. How do we view the stem cells? Number two is, how does the process, or does the process remove any potential prohibition? Regarding the first question we have to ask, are stem cells considered meat? Now, if stem cells are considered meat, then you would violate Eiver min hachai if you extract stem cells from muscle tissue of a living animal. If you remove the stem cells from a living animal, there's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis, where there's a debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to the source of the prohibition of Eiver min hachai and Basar min hachai. In other words, there's a prohibition to extract or to remove limbs from a live animal, and also a prohibition to remove flesh from a living animal. And the question is, again, there's a debate as to the nature of the source, but both of Yochanan Shimon and Reish Lakish agree that there is a prohibition. So there is a prohibition to remove flesh from a living animal. And the question is, are muscle and fat cells considered flesh? Now, just to be fair, the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuras, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud, states that if you eat a kezias of basar min hachai, a flesh from a living animal, then the punishment is malchus, is lashes. There is no punishment of lashes if you eat less than a kezias of flesh. So even if you hold that what you're removing, when you remove the stem cells and eventually it turns into meat, and what you're eating is meat, so even if you hold that the stem cell is considered meat, you're obviously eating less than a kezias of forbidden stem cells. In other words, the stem cell proliferated and it eventually turned into a piece of meat, but what you removed from the living animal is certainly less than a kezias. But that being said, the Beis Yosef in Simon Samach Beis says, Paskins, that chatzi shir asur min haTorah, that even if you have less than a kezias, it's still prohibited to eat, because even less than a shear, less than a kazayas, in our case, is forbidden according to Torah law. So first question is, maybe the stem cells are considered basar min hachai, and that would be a prohibition. Number two, maybe it's not considered meat, but maybe it's a non-meat derivative, which would still be prohibited. We know that the Gemara in Bechoros, Daf Hamad Beis, tells us, a yotzi min ha-tamei tamei, yotzi min ha-tahor tahor. Something that comes from a tamei animal is tamei, something that comes from a tahor animal is tahor. What's an example of this? The Rambam Hilchos Machalos Asuras, Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, based on this Gemara, tells us that Cholav Behema Tameya and Beitza Of Tame are Asurim. The milk of a non-kosher animal or the eggs of a non-kosher bird are forbidden from the Torah. So again, maybe we would view these stem cells not as actual meat, but maybe we would view them as a non-meat derivative. Now what that would mean would be that it's not a violation of basar min hachai. What it would also mean is that if it comes from a kosher animal, then it would be parv, because just like an egg or milk from a kosher animal is, or the milk is milchik, obviously, and the egg is parv, it's not meat. So maybe if the stem cells are treated as yotze, as something that's a derivative, so it wouldn't be fleishigs, but you would not be allowed to take the stem cells from a non-kosher animal, because the stem cells from a non-kosher animal would be a non-kosher derivative. The third potential issue is saying, even if the stem cells considered fleishigs, is meat itself, basar min hachai, even if the stem cell maybe, or if it's a non-meat derivative, maybe it's halachically insignificant, because it is microscopic. The Aruch HaShulchan in Yeridea, Simon Pei Dalet, Saif Lamed Vav, writes the following. Says that, B'yaldusei Shabbati b'pi achad shehoya b'ber chakim. In my youth I heard of one who witnessed, he was far away, v'ra derech zuchuchis ha-megadeles ad ma'od ki ravavos palmim b'mayim, that he saw through a zchuchis ha-megadeles, through a microscope, thousands of little creatures in the water. And these creatures presumably are not kosher, so how can we drink water? And he answers, lo asra Torah b'ma she'en ha'ayin sh'letest bo, lo nidna Torah le'balachim, that the Torah did not forbid that which the eye cannot see. Why? Because the Torah was not given to angels. So, just like bacteria is found in water, we can still drink the water because the microscopic cells are not subject to the general kosher laws. So perhaps stem cells are also so insignificant that they are permitted for consumption, that they're not even viewed as basar, they're not viewed as derivatives, they are microscopic and they are halakhically insignificant. Now, one way that you can respond to that is that Rav Yaakov Ariel, there was a lot of discussion about lab-grown meat about 8-9 years ago, and Rav Yaakov Ariel quoted the Mincha Shlomo Zalman Orbach Tinyana, Chelak Beis V'Gibel Simon Kuf and Paragraph Zion, and he basically says that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, in the context of genetic modification of microorganisms, he said, Kevan she'anashim mitaplim b'chalkikim ha'ela, since people are dealing with these particles, u'mavir and osam imim achad l'sheni, they're transferring from one species to another, hareza chashiv mamish k'nir le'inayim, they're considered as if they're visible to the naked eye, v'lo dami klala talayim she'anirim, they're not similar to the bugs that you cannot see. In other words, what he's arguing, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach is arguing, that when do we say that something that's not seen by the eye is considered halakhically insignificant? That's if you actually don't relate to these items at all. They are microscopic. You don't relate to them, so they're halakhically insignificant. However, in the context of genetic modification of microorganisms, even though they are only microscopic particles, since we deal with them, if we're dealing with them, then they're not viewed as insignificant. And basically, Rav Yaakov Ariel, he's the Rav of Ramat Gan, argued the same thing would apply to stem cells. That since we are aware of them and we want them and we are manipulating them in a lab, they are considered significant despite their microscopic size. And Rav Yimon, the Rav of Gush Etzion, who wrote a really recently a wonderful long article, a multi-page article on this topic, did a tremendous amount of research. So he argues that maybe you would say, he just think it's a suffix, it's a doubt. On the one hand, maybe it's microscopic. On the other hand, maybe you would argue, no, that since it grew, that, right, it originally was a stem cell. And since it grew, and now you can see it in your with your own eyes, and it came from a stem cell, then maybe it is significant. In other words, there's a difference between the bugs in the water, where you don't see and you're never going to see, and they're insignificant to you, versus these stem cells, which eventually become something through whatever the process is, eventually become something significant. So maybe the stem cells are not viewed as insignificant. And related to this, other than it being microscopic, you can also look at it as maya ba'alma, another argument that maybe it's insignificant. There's Gemara Yevamos Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis that says Miabra ad Arbim Maya Ba'almahi, that an embryo, an early stage fetus, let's say the first 40 days, this comes up when it comes to the question of abortion. Without getting into details about the halachos of abortion, there is presumably more room to some poskim are more lenient when it comes to abortion in the first 40 days, based on the notion that the first 40 days, the fertilized egg, the embryo inside a woman who is pregnant is not significant enough to be considered an independent life form. Again, that's a major debate, a major discussion. There are some rules if, God forbid, that there is a, if the woman loses her child within the first 40 days, so then the general assumption is that, and then let's say that's the first child that the woman has, and then she has another child. So would the second child be considered a bechor, the firstborn? So generally speaking, the first child dies within the first 40 days of pregnancy. Then it's not significant enough, and we would consider the next child to be the bechor. However, if the first pregnancy lasted more than 40 days, and then, unfortunately, the pregnancy was terminated for whatever reason, then the next child would not be a bechor. So there's something about the first 40 days as being maya ba'alma, not the early stage fetus, not being so halakhically significant for purposes of pregnancy. And the question is, do we analogize this to stem cells? Do we say that the stem cells, obviously it's early stage, and so it's not viewed, it's not, take a stem cell, it's not recognized as a viable animal. Rav Yimon is not sure. Do we maybe in the context of pregnancy? So we say that it's not significant. But do we apply that to machalos asuros, to forbidden foods, or do we say that the embryo is not the intrinsic part of the mother? This is another Rav Shabsai Yigal, an article in Tchumim. He says that maybe an embryo is not an intrinsic part of the mother, and therefore, until the first 40 days, it's not something that's significant. But stem cells are a component of the animal from where they are derived, and therefore, maybe they are significant. So these are sort of four basic questions in terms of how do we view the stem cells. Is it basar min ha-chai? Is it like taking flesh from a living animal? Is it a meat derivative, like eggs or milk from a non-kosher animal? Is it insignificant because it's microscopic? Is it maya ba'alma, like the first 40 days? So there are arguments you can make on both sides of this, on each of these questions. The second broad question is, even if, let's say, these stem cells are considered meat or perhaps something prohibited, if it comes, let's say a stem cell from a non-kosher animal, and let's say we say it is significant, the question is, does the process in transforming the stem cell into a piece of meat. Does that process remove any potential prohibition? And you can look at this in one of two ways. Either you can say that maybe it's bittul b'shishim. What's bittul b'shishim? So normally speaking, classically bittul b'shishim, if you have your chicken soup and a drop of milk falls into your chicken soup, and the chicken soup is at least 60 times the amount of your milk that fell in, so then we say the milk is bittul b'shishim. It is nullified. It's considered halachically insignificant in the larger mixture. So maybe the argument would be that the stem cell, along with the growth medium, which eventually forms this piece of meat, which results in a piece of meat, so maybe it's bittul b'shishim. The stem cell is very insignificant, very small compared to the growth medium, or maybe more than that. When the stem cell eventually becomes, it's transformed to billions of stem cells that are produced. So you have one problematic stem cell that you extract from an animal, and then you mix it with, or not you mix it, sorry, it proliferates, it becomes billions and billions of stem cells. So the resulting mixture is definitely, you have a ratio of definitely more than 60 to 1 of permitted or stem cells that did not come from a forbidden animal, or did not come, maybe if it's aver minachai, basu minachai, that did not come from anything problematic that were lab grown, versus this one stem cell that's problematic. So maybe we have bittul b'shishim. The reason why that this might be a problematic argument is that generally speaking, bittul b'shishim may only apply if there's an actual mixture. But if you're talking about one stem cell mixed with billions of other stem cells, there's no mixture. It's all just a bunch of stem cells. They're like each other. And you know, there's a principle called min bimino lo batel, same types. Maybe there is no bittul here. And the question is, can you do this l'chatchila? Maybe eim nevad linus or l'chatchila. Probably a larger question is that, generally speaking, we don't say that bittul applies when the forbidden item, even if it's very small, is a catalyst to the growth, is necessary. It's like a davar ha-maimed, it's significant. It's a catalyzing agent which cannot be annulled. So that's the question, does bittul b'shishim work? And then the second potential leniency when it comes to the process, again, the first might be bittul b'shishim, and the second potential leniency is what's called panim chadashos, that maybe there's a significant change in the product which changes the halachic status in the forbidden stem cell. And this obviously relates to the famous question of gelatin, the controversy about gelatin, which came from a forbidden source. So the Rama, so he allows one to permit milk into an animal's stomach, which is completely dry like wood, since it's not considered meat. And the Shach said it's not only, we're not only talking about dry stomach, but it would apply to anything, all innards of an animal, like bones. So based on this, Rav Avadya Yosef said that if you have, let's say, there's a forbidden source, like a non-kosher animal, and then that forbidden food became completely inedible. So then you could use it, you can use that forbidden food which became inedible to create, and let's say that's used to the creation of gelatin. So you have gelatin that came from a forbidden source, but that forbidden source became completely inedible. What you have now is panim chadashot, it's a completely new product. And therefore, Rav Avad Yosef and Yabia Omer, I believe also Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski was lenient, and Rav Avad Yosef and Yabia Omer, Chelik Ches, Yoredea, Simon Yudalef writes, Ho v'talich ha-totzeret shel gelatin, mina'or v'atzamot, alachar shenis yabshu, that since in the process of the creation of gelatin, this skin and the bones, after they have been, alachar shenis yabshu heitei b'shemesh, after they've been dried out for a long time, b'meshech in the sun, b'meshech ha-machadashim, for many months, Marvin Bahem, Malachim Kimiyim, They're mixed with chemicals and finely ground until they turn into fine powder. Panim chadashos bolakad. A new substance has emerged. Panim chadashos. So the argument would be that similarly here, that even if you want to argue that the stem cell is considered meat and it's not microscopic, or the fact that it's microscopic does not invalidate it from being considered meat, or it's not considered maya ba'alma, but the process, it transformed the process for this stem cell to become a piece of meat, so that it changed. It's the stem cell's inedible, and therefore, just like the bone of the animal is inedible, and it was used to create something edible, which is gelatin, which is kosher, says Rav Avadya Yosef. So too, the stem cell, which was inedible, was used. Maybe it comes from a non-kosher animal. Maybe it comes from basar min hachai. But now it's been transformed. Panim chadashos should be permitted. Question though is, do we paskin like Rav Avadya Yosef when it comes to gelatin? In America, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Aaron Cutler were strict. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Yordea, Chelik Beis, Simon, Kav Zion, passing like holds the same way Rav Aaron Cutler does, that gelatin, Hanase mi oros behema tomeos and avelos to trefus yesh lesser. He says that the gelatin that comes from non-kosher animals are forbidden. The sura ika boros fatzoas, that there is a prohibition with respect to these skins and these bones, v'chadoma and something similar. Even though he says according to the Rambam, it's pater, means it's pater velasa, means maybe you don't get malchus, but it's still forbidden. Why is that? So Moshe Feinstein of Aaron Cutler said that, listen, the bones in the Ramah and the Shach, they're saying the bones are not forbidden because they are unfit for human consumption as it is, as they are. But if they're reconstituted into gelatin, then they are fit to eat. And the prohibition returns. Chozer v'neir, it's achshiva, you consider it significant. And therefore, even if the stem cells right now are not, it came from a piece of meat, and then you extracted the stem cells is inedible. But once you reconstitute it into a piece of meat, so therefore, the prohibition returns, or at least it becomes a piece of meat again. So how do we paskin? So again, about 9 years ago, Rav Tzvi Reiser wrote an article in Tchumin, and he basically says that he makes the Panim Chadashos argument. He says that the, number one, it's a new process. He says it's also Bitul B'Shishim that we mentioned, that the stem cell is not edible, it's nullified in a ratio of 60 to 1, a new substance has been formed, and he thinks that the meat would not be fleishig, would not, if it came from a non-kosher source, it doesn't seem that it would be non-kosher. It's like gelatin. Rav Yaakov Ariel, the Rav Ramat Gan, responded, and he disagreed with him. He said, there's no bittul in our circumstance. He says, bittul barov lo relevanti linyonenu. The concept of bittul barov is not relevant for our topic. Kia iser atzmo misrabeh. It's not that the prohibited item is simply mixed in a new substance and is nullified. Because what's going on here? Iser atzmo misrabeh. The prohibited item is simply increasing. V'chol yotzi menu aser kamo. And anything that comes from it is forbidden like it. You're not nullifying it into something else. And he doesn't address the issue of panim chadashos, but he may argue that again, this we hold the gelatin is forbidden. Furthermore, you can argue that the cells may have a status of davar hamaimid. That this is, like I mentioned, this is a forbidden substance used to form a product in a manner that is critical for their production, and therefore the whole product would be forbidden. Rav Asher Weiss has an interesting argument. Rav Asher Weiss wrote a letter to Rabbi Ganak. Rabbi Ganak from the OU asked him to render an opinion about this, and he felt that since under the microscope, a cultured meat product will be identical to the meat product from an animal, the same genetic makeup, then it is regarded as meat irrespective of how it came into the world. In other words, according to Rav Asher Weiss, we don't look at the process. We only look at the end result. If it looks like meat and its genetic makeup is like meat, then it's treated as meat even if it went through this interesting process. And he uses, it's interesting, he uses it as a proof. It's similar to the miracle of oil on Hanukkah. It's a fascinating proof. The Kli Chemda asked the following question. He says, well, there's a mitzvah that when you light the Neros in the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to light the Neros, the lights have to come from olive oil. What happened in the miracle of Hanukkah? So there was only enough oil to last, olive oil to last for one day. Miraculously, it lasted for 8 days. What that means is that the additional oil was miracle oil. It wasn't olive oil. You had 1 day's worth of olive oil. You had 7 days' worth of miracle oil. How is that oil kosher for Ner Chanukah? So the Kli Chemda said that the additional oil that was miraculously generated retained the status of the original oil. It was an extension of the original oil. So too, in our case, what happened? The materials and nutrients which allow for the growth of meat, right? The cultured meat is simply an extension and treated the same way as the original stem cell. Just like the miracle oil was treated as the regular olive oil and could be used for lighting the menorah in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash during the Hanukkah story, so too the cultivated meat, the lab-grown meat, which is an extension of the original stem cell, it's treated as the same as the original stem cells, the original meat. So the big question, though, is, according to Rav Asher Weiss, if he holds that we treat this lab-grown meat as the original meat, as the original stem cell, so there's a problem, because you're not doing shechita. You didn't shecht. This new piece of meat did not come from, as a result of shechita. You took a stem cell. So if we really want to treat it as meat, well, it had not undergone shechita. Rav Rimon did not think that this would be, he thought that Rav Asher Weiss would not require any shechita because, and he thought it's not such a problem, that maybe shechita is only required if the meat came from a creation that had a neshama. So since an animal did not have a neshama, the stem cell did not have a neshama, so there's no requirement for shechita. And he brings some proofs for this. So Rav Rimon thinks that even according to Rav Asher Weiss, a stem cell from a kosher animal would be kosher even though there is no shechita. But according to this opinion of Rav Asher Weiss, it would seem though then that there would be a problem of basar min hachai if you took it from a living animal. However, if you could solve that problem if you shechted an animal, and then from the shechted animal you took a stem cell, then even according to Rav Asher Weiss, there would be no issue of basar min hachai. Rav Herschel Schachter was of the opinion that if this stem cell meat does not come from the mother, then it's not basar min hatorah. It's not biblical basar, so it doesn't require shechita. He thought maybe it's treated as rabbinic, like chicken perhaps, like basar b'chalav would be basar ofen chalav. That's what he thinks. But he does not, for him, there'd be no issue of why there's no requirement of shechita, because he doesn't think it's basar. The stem cell meat is not basar from a Torah perspective. Rav Lau came out in January of this year. He came out with the position that he treats cultivated meat as parif. In response to this, Rabbi Ganak from the OU, he passed like Rav Asher Weiss. And there's an article from OU Kosher dated February 9th where it stated that even though Chief Rabbi David Lau declared that lab-grown meat is kosher parif, Rabbi Ganak disagreed, and he presumably is concerned with Rav Asher Weiss's position. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, Rav Rimon wrote a really long piece on this topic, really extensive, wonderful article on the scientific aspects and analyzing so many different halachic aspects of this topic. And essentially, he is concerned with four major problems, or four issues relating to the meat. So number one, is it insignificant because it's microscopic? And there's sides that maybe it is insignificant, maybe it's not insignificant. Is it because of the first 40 days? Is it Maya Ba'alma? Is it insignificant because it's just like water, as it were? And is it Bitul B'Shishim? Is it nullified? And he says with those three, you can look at it, you have two sides of the argument that we mentioned before. He also said there's Rav Asher Weiss, says it has the same, if the result has the same DNA, the same genetics as a piece of meat, then it's halachically considered meat. So Rimon said, well, so how do we look at this now? There's no clear consensus from our poskim, or from the Gemara and from the Rishonim, as to how we answer all these questions. Questions of how we look at the stem cells, the meat, is it not meat, is it significant, is it non-significant, how do we look at the process? There's no clear way of looking at it. So it becomes what's called a suffix. It's a doubt. When we think about suffix in halacha, there could be suffix in terms of facts. We're not sure what the facts are. And there could also be suffix in terms of the halacha. You don't know what the halacha is. And how do we paskin in the case of suffix? So we paskin suffix doraisa lechumra, suffix drabbana lekula. So if we're dealing with a doraisa, Torah prohibition, then we should be strict. If we're dealing with a rabbana, a rabbinic prohibition, we should be lenient. So what emerges from this is then, so this is a case of suffix. So if we're talking about, this is the way Rav Rimon would look at this. He said, if we're talking about the question of, can you eat this meat directly with dairy? So there's a Torah prohibition to eat meat and dairy together. So how do we paskin? Safek doraisa lechumra. You should not have this stem cell meat together with dairy because it's a safek, and safek doraisa lechumra. What about waiting? Would you have to wait 6 hours between eating the stem cell meat and dairy? Now that requirement of waiting is only drabanan. So it would seem that you should be able to eat dairy immediately after having your steak, your stem cell steak. Rav Rimon said that maybe, again, from a policy, there might be a Maris Ayin issue, there might be a policy issue, you'd have to educate the public. But after you can educate the public enough, and you make it clear that this is not real meat, this is different, like something you have like non-dairy creamer that you can have, you know, that's parif, so there are ways to indicate that. So once you deal with the Maris Ayin issues, the policy issues, then he thinks, and he said he spoke to Rav Schechter, and Schechter thought that makes sense, that you would be able to have the dairy immediately after the stem cell meat. And then I heard, again, I didn't hear this directly from Rav Rimon, but someone who heard a shir from Rav Rimon mentioned that he said that maybe you can make a distinction between, let's say, Mahadrin stem cell meat and Rabbanut stem cell meat. What does that mean? It means the following. The truth is that if you take, let's say, if you take the stem cell from a live animal, then there's potentially an issue of basar min hachai. What if you take it from a after the animal shechted. Okay, so it might not be basar min achai, but still, maybe it's still considered meat because it's not basar min achai, but maybe it's not insignificant. Again, it may not be, it's not basar min achai, but it's still considered meat. It's not a violation of basar min achai, but it's still considered meat. And so Rav Rimon said, the best, so that's better, but the Mahadrin would be to actually take a stem cell from the womb of an animal in the early stage of the embryo, when the first days of fertilization, before the fertilized egg is in the uterus. Because if you do that, then according to most opinions, it's parv. It's not Eiver Min Achai, it's not Basar Min Achai, because it's coming from an embryo, it's coming from an egg. And it's at best, so you have an egg of an animal, it's definitely not Basar, it's not meat, it's only an egg. So if you take the stem cell, you collect the stem cell from the womb of the animal, the early stage of the embryo, then according to most arguments, it's definitely not considered meat. The only argument that it's still considered meat would still be Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss says, I don't care what the process is, as long as it looks like meat under a microscope, the same DNA as meat. So according to him, it's still potentially considered meat. So therefore, Savek Darais L'Chumra, we wouldn't eat it together with dairy, but you can eat it right after. But even though Savek Rabbanan L'Kula, and maybe you can eat, dairy right after the stem cell meat, it's still best to try to knock it down so that according to almost all opinions, it's not considered meat. So that's a very fascinating way that Rav Rimon would deal with this issue. So again, the science is constantly evolving. The halachic analysis is constantly evolving. But this seems to be where we are in the issue of meat or steak from a 3D printer as it stands right now.